Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. This episode features a special teaching from one of our monthly encounter nights. The focus of these nights is to experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, and worship Jesus extravagantly.
Good evening, everybody. How are we doing? Good. Got to get to your seat. Hey, if I don't know you, haven't met you yet, I'm Matt. And welcome to Awake Encounter Nights. So you can read up there what these are about. We want to pursue the Lord, His presence, His Spirit, and step out in things, learn together. And God's got some great stuff for us tonight. So why don't we pray? And our typically, what we typically do, though it can change, is to share, do a little bit of teaching on the front end, and then roll into worship after that. So that's, I think, the plan for tonight so far. And we're open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to do. But let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the day that you have made, that we got to be alive in it. And Lord, we just lift you up. We say, Jesus, we're here because you are great and you are amazing. And you are the one we are pursuing. And we desire to experience you tonight. We desire to worship you tonight. We desire to hear from you and to, we just even open up our spirit now to hear from your Spirit through Dawn as she speaks. And Lord, we ask that you would show us things, minister to every person here tonight, give us tools and keys to living life abundantly, which is what you said, that you gave us life abundantly. It's what you do. May those rivers of living water flow from us. And we give you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this is Dawn Bray. She is our pastoral care pastor here at Awake. Yep. You can clap for her. She's amazing. She's got years of not only just gifting, but skill and learning and pastoral experience and ministry. And so she's going to share. We're going to do a two-part series is the plan this month and next month. And so Dawn is going to lead us in this first one.
All right. So, yes, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare tonight. You know, I was thinking about spiritual warfare in the context of encounter nights. And I was thinking when we start to move in the gifts of the Spirit, right? We start to minister to people. We start to really step out in prophetic words. Then we're advancing the kingdom. And when we advance the kingdom, there's resistance. So tonight, I want to try to locate a little bit of where we are, each of us individually, in how we frame things in our life, in how we see spiritual warfare. And just see, too, if we can take some things where maybe the enemy has had us frame something incorrectly and flip those tonight so that we can step into victory in some places. So a few thoughts about spiritual warfare is that spiritual warfare is really warring in the spirit for the purpose of the will of God being made manifest. Right, so there's this unseen realm for a lot of us. We can see glimpses into that realm. But spiritual warfare is bringing what God is doing right onto earth. And then the resistance sometimes that we face, you know, when we're doing that. So it's not a battle in the flesh, but rather in the spirit. And I've already said we're advancing the kingdom. So we see that resistance, but also success in spiritual warfare is not just relief from the enemy. It's not just that, wow, I'm not feeling the tension anymore. It's that we're being transformed inside. It's that we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Therefore, we walk in greater authority. And with that authority, not only in our own life will we see change, but in other people's lives. So we're going to look tonight at some of the mindsets that are warfare. You know, there are a lot of spaces, and I was thinking about how for some people, spiritual warfare can be really dark and, you know, night terrors and things that are happening. And I'm not discounting any of that. We're just not starting, you know, with that piece of it tonight. There's a real space where, right, darkness can come against us. But if we think about our mind first and we start to look, a lot of times the enemy will set us up by causing us to have a victim mentality, is what I really call it. And what that looks like to me is things like this that we might say or that we might hear. I feel like I'm always under attack, right? How often, you know, do we hear that? Nothing ever goes right. The enemy must have a target on my back, right? That's a mindset that we can have. Or every time I step out to do something good for God, I feel like the enemy just comes in like a flood and all of these bad things happen. Or new level, new devil. Like all of those things are things that we hear and sometimes probably have even thought or said. And those things actually frame it wrong. They frame it in a way that we become a victim, right, to the enemy, and we always feel like we're under attack instead of living from the place of victory that we should be. And the mindsets that cause us to get there are not created by just one thought. I feel like they're created by years of experience, right? Things that we've had happen to us, things that we've been taught that maybe weren't necessarily fully true. There's all of these different ways that these concepts get created in our mind. And before we know it, we're believing that the enemy is bigger than he really is in a situation. And so it can make it hard for us to see the way that we need to see. And so one of the things that I was thinking about was a tool that we use at Awake Freedom. And it is that we say it's removing the enemy's armor or removing the protection of the enemy. So really what we're doing is we're finding the places where there is a stronghold, where there's been belief systems set up over time that's repeated over and over, and it's created a space in our mind where we have fear, where we have anxiety, where there's something that we don't really know. How do we get out of this cycle that we're in where it feels like that the enemy is beating us up, where we're under something? So I just want to talk a little bit about some of how can we flip those things tonight. So one example that I gave was like new level, new devil. So if we're thinking that because God is promoting me, that there's going to be more resistance, then we're already setting ourselves up really for that belief system to be put in place. But what if we instead said this: God, with every promotion that you give me your strategies, you give me your peace, you give me your grace, you upgrade my armor for the task at hand, and I am advancing the kingdom with you. And there may be resistance, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So if I am starting from that frame, how much different am I going to walk out what God is asking me to do? Right? Because now I am here, and anything that would come against is not, it's under my feet instead of me saying that I am under. So I feel like that creates a new reality for us and a place where we can walk in victory instead of defeat. So when the enemy's coming in really hard, like let's say there's a place of fear in our life and the enemy just continues to maybe push on a trigger that we have, right? So something's happening and it's causing fear to rise up constantly. One of the tools that I teach the team and that we use and share with people is something that I call prayer trigger, prayer target. And this is really effective. What you do is you realize that, wow, the enemy's pushing a button, and I'm feeling this fear rise up. And so in that moment, you say, okay, instead of me looking at what is happening, I'm going to choose a prayer target. So you think of someone that's asked you to pray for them, someone that's given you a prayer request. And just in your mind, you decide that every time I feel this pressure, right, to try to look at what the enemy's trying to get me to look at, I'm going to pray for this specific thing. And so every time that trigger gets pushed, we pray for the other person. And after two or three times, every time I've ever done this, guess what happens? The enemy stops because he realizes that I'm going to take what he meant for harm, and with God, I'm going to advance the kingdom in someone else's life with it. So I'm going to utilize a strategy that's going to, again, put me in the position, right, of authority, me in the position of victory instead of the enemy. So that's a really good tool that I use personally. So how do we locate the strongholds? Like if something has become a pattern and it's become a stronghold and we're wanting to go after it, I think one is that any place that when we look at a situation, it feels bigger than God in us, or it feels bigger in some way than what we believe God will do, that's a stronghold. That's a place that God is wanting to shift what we believe about something. Any place where fear, anxiety, worry, anything that's not kingdom, right, comes in, that's a place that if it's over and over, most likely there's a stronghold either beginning or it's already set in motion. And then another way is just we can ask God, Lord, is there any place in my life that I don't see where there is a way that I'm believing something that is causing me to feel like I'm under attack or to feel like I'm defeated or to feel like I don't have what I need? And he will show us the places where there's something going on in our heart that we need to see differently. So that's just a couple of ways, that we can recognize the strongholds. So we'll come back in the end to a little bit of that, and we're going to pray over some of those spaces. But I want to jump now to the weapons of our warfare. And I'd like to start with just the armor of God. And you guys are familiar with Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, having belted your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. In the New Living Translation, it says, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. And having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you are able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be alert with all perseverance and every request for all saints. So the belt of truth. So girding up the loins in ancient armor, actually the robes would be pulled up so that they wouldn't trip over them and things like that. So there was an extra layer, really, of robe that was fastened, and it covered the loins and the upper thighs. But there's another scripture, 1 Peter 1:13, that says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when I think about girding, like the belt of truth and girding, the Lord always reminds me, this is about your mind. In other words, we can picture that, yes, it's going to cover, like the armor is to cover us, and we think about our body. But if we go out into the spirit realm, this is something that also covers our mind, the loins of our mind. So we can go into battle fully covered when we ask the Lord to help us to keep the loins of our mind in his truth, covered with his truth and what he is saying. The breastplate of righteousness, Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So it's the righteousness, right, of God that we have by faith. So when we put Christ on, we put on his righteousness, and that righteousness becomes a protection for us. It's like putting on a robe of righteousness because we're putting on Christ. And so the Lord has shown me how when our robe of righteousness is on, that's the breastplate. We think about this, the heart, you know, part of the body, maybe the lungs. That is about, I believe, also our heart, which again leads to our mind, right? So it still has the thoughts, all of those things. It's like we are covering our heart and we're stepping into a place where we're believing that because we are in Christ, that we are righteous because of him, right? And we don't earn that, but we get to walk in that. So the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, our feet are important to stability and balance and speed and all kinds of things. But this is talking about being, it's the gospel of peace. So when I think about this, Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So we have peace with God through the finished work. We have access to the peace of God, right? Because we're positioned with Christ in heavenly places. We're seated at the right hand of the Father. And so when we surrender to this place of the peace of God and we walk in that place, it's another way that we are covered. And it leaves us in a place that we're not left vulnerable to the enemy, right? Because we're walking in his peace. So I think peace is really, to me, what the Lord highlights when I think about the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. Faith is a substance. It is tangible. And it can be utilized as a shield around us. Like, I really believe that the picture, which I love, of the Greek word here, is it's spelled T-H-U-R-E-O-S, thuros, maybe. But it is the word that's being used for shield in this verse. And when you look it up, this is a shield that is large enough to protect the body. It's about a 4-foot tall, a 2-foot wide shield that they carried. So it wasn't small. So sometimes I think we think about the shield and we think about, like, we hold up a shield and maybe it's, you know, right here in front of us. But this is a shield that was large. It was also, there was oil and water that it was covered in. So when the fiery darts would come, the arrows from the enemy, they would be extinguished by the oil and the water in the leather of this shield. And so when the soldiers would get trapped together, sometimes they would take these shields and create like this whole, you know, everybody's got their shield up and all the way around them, they were covered. So when the arrows came, they were extinguished, but the soldiers were protected. And if we think about our faith like that shield, right? Our faith creates this shield in the spirit that keeps those fiery darts from being able to get in. So that's how I think about that one. The helmet of salvation, you know, our head is really important, and it houses the five senses as well. You know, we have our sense of smell, and I mean, our brain, like, there's a lot, right, with our head. And it's about salvation, and of course, we know that we have been saved, we are being saved, we will be saved. Like, we could talk through all of that. But with this, Philippians 4:7, again, that peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. And then Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And I believe that this helmet of salvation is not just about that moment of salvation. This is a helmet that we get to put on, and we get to continue, right, to wear and to put on. And it shuts down enemy activity that is coming against our mind, and it's protective. I have an example of this that I found really just exciting because I see it work over and over. I could be ministering to someone that's having a lot of thoughts that are coming in from the enemy, and they're not able to really hear the Lord because they're like, but all these thoughts are coming and I can't divide them out. And a lot of times we'll stop and I'll say, you know what, let's stop right here and let's just ask the Lord together. Let's take the helmet of salvation and just put that on fresh with the Lord. And that helmet, we do the prophetic act, we pick up the helmet, we put it on, and those thoughts stop. And they say, wow, I didn't realize that, you know, this had power. In other words, there's power in knowing that we can stop and say, God, I mean, I have on my helmet of salvation, I believe, but can we just, like, go pick this up, or maybe I need an upgrade? And we get that helmet of salvation on, and it will shut down a lot of times these thoughts that are coming in so that we can then hear the Lord and process and move forward. Next, the sword of the Spirit. I love this because Jesus, to me, is the greatest example. And he was in the wilderness. And, of course, we know how he was led out into the wilderness. The enemy tempted him. And what he said three times, the first one was, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Of course, the second time, you know, the enemy comes again and he's saying, all this authority I will give you. And Jesus again says, you know, you shall worship the Lord your God and only him serve. And then the third time, you know, the enemy's trying to get Jesus to jump from the pinnacle. And Jesus says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Each time he used scripture, and the word is so powerful. Knowing the word and knowing how to engage with God in that word to decree it over a situation can really shut down a place that the enemy is coming in. So if we move beyond that, prayer is a weapon, right? And Ephesians 6, 17, and 18, part of what we already read at the end, it says, and with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, right? So prayer is a tool that sometimes it's hard to think, you know, like when we're in the middle of the enemy kind of pounding on us, sometimes it's hard to get into that place to just say, I'm going to pray. But sometimes if we can find that place and it's just, Lord, help, right? That's prayer. But from there, we can begin to move forward. And even if it's praying in the Spirit, because we don't really know, prayer is powerful. The power of our words. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat of its fruit. Our words speak life or death. They speak blessings or curses. They create with God. They frame our reality. I think sometimes we don't realize how words frame our reality. If I get out of the bed in the morning and I say, well, I didn't sleep good, I don't feel good, I'm tired today, I'm probably going to go in that direction, right? And I'm not going to have this great day. But if I get up and I say, Lord, when I am weak, you are strong. And today is going to be a really good day. And I start to just engage and maybe bless my body to align to that truth. I can tell you, for me, it changes my whole day. Like I can frame things with God and see those things like I actually walk into what I'm speaking, because we create with God. Just a couple more. Spiritual authority. We all have positional authority, so we're seated with Christ, and from that position, I always say we can turn our face to the Father in the Spirit and say, Father, what do I need? You know, what do I need to hear from you today? What is the strategy I need from you today? What do I need for my spirit? What do I need for my soul? What do I need for my body? But we have positional authority to engage with God. Earned authority is where I've walked through something and I have victory. So sometimes we'll start to step back a little bit if the enemy pushes hard enough and not realize that, wow, I have authority over this because I already overcame it. And we can step right back into that authority and just say, no, you have to go. And we can just walk right into that place because we've earned that authority. And then moral authority is where we have things that we walk in. Like for me, one of the things that people say is, wow, you carry so much peace. And it's like a blessing of presence. And we all have those spaces that we carry. People recognize them. And that gives us authority when someone recognizes that, right, to help to pray that over them and to continue to walk in that, but also bless others with it. And then we have worship, which is a tool. And I think the band's going to come up here shortly, and we're going to engage in worship. But celebrating who God is and what he's done for us, and stepping into that place where we allow whatever it is that's trying to come against us here fall away as we engage with God. And we just really, we look and see who he is and what he has done. That is an amazing place, and it's a tool that we have. It's warfare. Worship so many times is warfare. Like sometimes that's where we need to go when we, all these other things maybe are not something that we can engage. We can always turn toward him and we can always worship. So a couple of practical things really quickly is one, I'd like to pray over us just for the enemy, for the Lord to expose any way that the enemy is hiding anywhere in our thought processes, where he's causing us to feel like we're being defeated, that he would just highlight those places to us, and I'd like to pray over them. And I'm going to use, like we do in our ministry, Isaiah 28. Basically, this Isaiah 28, starting in about verse 15, the enemy comes and he says this, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we've made a pact. And when the overwhelming scourge of the Lord, meaning his justice, comes, it won't affect us because we have hidden ourselves away in a refuge of lies and we're concealed in deception. And that's that spiritual mindset sometimes, right, that we can have. And this is what God says, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed, and he who believes in it will not be disturbed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water will overflow the secret place. Every covenant will be canceled and annulled. Every pact will not stand. And when the scourge, the justice of God, comes, it will be a torment to the enemy. So, Lord, right now we just pray over every person that in every place where there's something that is being exposed, a mindset, just a place where there's a lie that is hiding, where there's anything hidden, we pray for exposure and for your light to come. And then we ask you that your judgment would wash that away, that your judgment, just like the water of the word and the blood of Jesus, would wash through, and that there would not be one place left, not one mindset, not one lie, not one hiding place left, that your justice and your righteousness does not wash away. Lord, I ask you for a reset tonight. Lord, where anyone's been struggling with a thought process that's been a cycle, I'm asking you, Lord, wash that place and reset. And then, Lord, as we worship, I ask you that you would just show us individually, is there somewhere that we've allowed ourselves to become a victim? Is there a place where we've allowed ourselves to believe a lie and to see the enemy bigger than he is? Lord, would you show us what that is? And as we see it, I just ask you to reframe our perspective. Lord, it's like the day that you showed me this huge giant in a cage that was fear. And it was like a bigger than a gorilla. It was just this huge giant. And you said, let me show you what I see. And in 1 second, it turned into like a flea that you couldn't even see on the bottom of the floor. God, would you do that in every place where something has become bigger than it should be in our belief system? And Lord, would you show us where we walk in authority that we've somehow laid down? That we had victory, but all of a sudden that thing's trying to come back. Lord, would you just help us to just prophetically tonight say, no, God, I step back into that place of authority where I already have victory, and I take that land back with you tonight. So God, as we worship, would you show us those things and reframe? In Jesus' name. Amen.